I'd like to say good morning to everyone, especially those who are on the call who may not be members of the Church of Christ. You are very honored guests. We appreciate you being on our call. And to our brothers and sisters from other congregations, you too are welcome to our call. I want everyone to know that listening to our members of the church, that we believe in the Church of Christ, that the Bible is right and every word of the Bible is right. We believe that Jesus did that die on that cross, not because we saw it with our eyes, but because we could read it in this book called the Bible. That he did shed blood and wash your sins away if you're obedient in baptism. Same blood preaches this church, and there's but one church in the Bible, and that is the Church of Christ. We're glad to have everyone on. This morning we'll be studying from the book of Acts, continuing our study of the book of Acts, chapter 27. We'll be going there. Just so highlight members, those listening, Brother Stroud and I have decided to, after we complete our studies of these books, we'll be going to Hebrews in the morning time, which will give us opportunity to study both Old Testament and New Testament. And he will do the James, the book of James in the afternoon. So just go ahead and read ahead, probably a couple weeks away from starting. Just go ahead and read ahead, and you'll be prepared to learn more. If you read, you'll learn more. Also want to announce that we're going to be starting back up a grief program. We got a lot of family members who've lost loved ones and in need of a program. Be led by Brother Foreman, Brother Stroud, and any requesting brothers who may have a heart to participate in a support role, to be on the call with those of our family members who are grieving. And if you're interested in helping out Brother Stroud, Brother Foreman, please contact them and let them know. We appreciate that so very much. This morning, the winds were contrary. Chapter 27. We know in chapter 21, Paul headed to Jerusalem knowing there was trouble ahead. Chapter 22, the crowd was angry. He had to stand for himself there in Jerusalem. Chapter 23, he stood before the chief priests in the Sanhedrin court. Chapter 23 also, he was escorted by 470 soldiers to Paul to Rome. Chapter 24 also, he stood before Felix, the governor of Rome. He stood before Festus in chapter 25, who replaced Felix. Chapter 26, he stood before King Agrippa. And no one in all those chapters could find Paul guilty or worthy of any death. Now in chapter 27, Paul is en route to Italy, the Rome capital city, via ship. He'd be riding on a ship. He's going to appeal to the highest court in Caesar. So Luke is telling the story, so pay attention to what's being said. Verse 1, when it was determined that Luke includes himself, should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus' band. Verse 2, and entered into a ship of Adramidum, we launched, meaning to sail by the coast of Asia, Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, being with us. Now, for us to really enjoy this lesson and make it applicable to us, vision yourself riding on a ship with Paul, Luke, and the crew. Now, we're going to ride with Paul on this first ship, but eventually they will have to board other ships before they reach their destination. So let's get ready for the ride. Verse 3. Next day we touched at Sidon, and Julius, that's the centurion he was talking about, courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty, freedom, to go unto his friends to refresh himself. So remember, Jesus told Paul to be of good cheer because he would stand by him, for he had worked for him to do him wrong. And here we see, even as a prisoner, Paul is being treated with compassion. And this is a lesson for us. If we do right things and keep Christian attitude during difficult times, like on your job or whatever, God can cause your enemy to treat you with compassion. This also applies in relationships. In verse number 4, when we had launched from thence, Luke says, we sailed under Cyprus because the winds were contrary. That's my sermon title right there. Contrary winds. Now, immediately upon the launch from Sidon, they had sailed under. That means they stayed in the protected area, stayed close to the shore of Cyprus because the winds were contrary, opposite, or different, unpredictable. Now, on our ship ride, we should think of our ship ride as a ride of life, as well. I'm going to present it. We're riding in life. We're going through life from time we're born to the time we die. And all through life, life will present us with all kinds of winds contrary to us, and will hinder us in reaching our destination, which is heaven for us. So here it is, in our life, contrary winds can keep us from the truth. Anything contrary to the teachings of Christ is a contrary wind that will hinder us making our decision, our destination to heaven. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lay in wait to deceive. So here's the warning. On your ship of life, make sure you sail or stay under the safe teaching of the Bible, which is called doctrine. Stay protected so you're not tossed about by every wind of doctrine, every different kind of teaching. Don't pull you away from one true teaching of the Scripture. Teaching such as, if you're visiting with us, someone would say, no, baptism is not necessary. That's contrary to what Jesus said. It's opposite of what Jesus said. That's a wind that will cause you to lose your soul. But Jesus said in Mark 16, 15 and 16, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Matthew 28:18, he said, go teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So if someone say you're going to have to be baptized, that's contrary to wind. It will cause you not to reach your destination. Any church would do is contrary to the winds is a contrary wind of teaching, of doctrine. Because Jesus said in Matthew 16:18, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And we can read in Ephesians 4:4 and the following verses, Colossians 1:18, that the body, there's but one body, and that body is the church. Contrary winds, such as not taking the Lord's Supper once a month, is a teaching that will cause you to lose yourself. For then, once you're in the church, once saved, always is a contrary wind. It's a false doctrine. And members, sometimes, even if we're not taught that, live any kind of way expecting to be saved by grace and mercy. So be careful that you don't allow some of these contrary teachings of the Scripture to cause you to lose your soul. Verse 5, when we have sailed over the sea of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia. And there the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing into Italy, and he put us therein. So Luke says, here we are. We found this ship of Alexandria going into Italy, and we own it now. So he's on the second ship. They got on the first ship, and then they got on another ship. And when you realize the ship you own will not make the destination, this is my application here, you should get on another ship that is headed in the right direction. Here's the point. If the Bible identifies that you're on the wrong road to heaven, you should get off out of that ship and get on the one that will get you to heaven. And sometimes that will require change in life, change in churches. If it's not according to Scripture, change in people who could cause you to lose your soul. And you know, you can't just keep living like you want to live and make heaven your home. At some point, you have to change ship. You have to change your way of living as the ship changes. Verse 7, when he had sailed slowly many days, the scarce would come over against Snidus, the wind not suffering us. We sailed on the Crete over against Simone. So here they are. Many days sailing. Scarce will come against Snidus. Snidus. And Simone were. The wind would not suffer enough, she says. So we sailed Crete over against them. So they had another location. So Paul and the crew were sailing slowly in rough winds for many days. It's kind of how life is for us. Our life will seem slow when rough winds are blowing. So maybe somebody on the call this morning, you feel like You're not getting anywhere because of the rough winds of life. Like every time you get up on your feet, you think things are going good. You get knocked back down. Maybe because you're on the wrong course in life and God is trying to get your attention. Maybe you're on the wrong ship, living the wrong lifestyle, got the wrong crowd, wrong environment, listening to worldly teachers, worldly advisors, wrong spiritual teaching. You have to make a change. In verse 8, he said, hardly passing it, came unto a place which is called the Fair Havens, nigh unto, which whereunto was the city of Elysia. Now they are near Fair Haven. The ship is moving, which is a safer place than they were, a safe harbor to stay and avoid the storms. But watch what happens here. Verse 9, and when much time was spent in that safe place, when sailing was now dangerous, it's getting worse to get back on the sea, because the fast was now already passed, Paul admonished them. When you say the fast, that means, you know, it's like safe seasons to sail. Like during the hurricane season, that's not a safe season to be out on the waters. That's what he's saying. He says it's time that we can't. As Pastor Paul speaks in admonishing words, trying to encourage them to take heed to what he's getting ready to say to them. Now, I'm speaking admonishing word this morning from this lesson. But the question is, will you listen? Are you listening? Watch these people who Paul tried to admonish. And said unto them, sirs, I perceive that this barge will be with hurt, much danger, not only of the lading and the ship, but also of my life. So here's Paul. But keep in mind, Paul is guided by the Holy Spirit. So what he's telling them, he's an apostle. So he's giving them direct information that he knows. His perceptions, it's called inspiration. The Bible says all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instructions. So he's giving them instruction as he's guided by the Holy Spirit. So being guided by the Holy Spirit, Paul warns them not to take this trip. It's going to bring harm. It's going to be hurt and danger to the ship, to the cargo. I mean, when he says lading, it means the cargo and their lives. So the word of God, when it is preached, it is a warning from God to all of us. And anything that goes against God's will, the Bible is teaching us what that is. So we're being warned from God's word, all of us, me, you, and anyone else on the call, not to stay on track you're on, for it will bring you hurt, harm, and danger to your body, to your family, and your soul. But a life without God will bring hurt, harm, and danger to the soul of man. Everything comes down to the soul. A life of sin will bring hurt, harm, and danger to your body, your family, and soul. A life of sin will bring hurt, harm, and danger to our families, everyone. This whole world, dealing with the COVID and everything else we're going through, there's going to be some hurt, harm, and danger. We got to deal with whatever comes with it. That's going to come with life. And remember, this lesson is saying the winds are going to be contrary. So you have to brace yourself and stay on this barge with God. And you're sure, if not, you're surely going to shipwreck. It's going to be a wreck. Any one of us who don't stay with what God has said, life will be wrecked. Listen to verse 11. Nevertheless, even though Paul said that to him, even though he gave them the warning, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things were spoken by Paul. So, question becomes, who or what are you going to believe in life? Is a good question for all of us to ask. Now, I suggest that every one of us Don't listen to men. You listen to the Bible. See, Paul was inspired, so he was giving. I can't do what Paul was doing. So you don't just listen to me. You listen to what I'm teaching you from the Bible. And you always put the Bible over the man, because that's God's word. And God guided the apostles to write down his instructions. Me as a preacher, I must follow and teach that instructions without addition or subtraction. That's important for you to know. Because no matter how good you think a preacher may be, how holy they may live, it's in your eyes. If that preacher, if that man or that woman is not teaching from the Bible and giving you verses to read yourself, that will end in a shipwreck. So I'm making that clear. Don't matter if it's me, Brother Stroud, or anybody else. Paul was speaking as a man of God. But the owner of a ship was not considering what Paul was teaching. Why? He had his own agenda. Here's the point. Whoever you listen to, make sure that person is advising you from the scripture. Be careful about worldly advice. You draw the line in the sand when a man or a woman give you advice that's not from the Bible, because they have their own personal agendas. And that agenda has nothing to do with saving your soul. Many are in the worldly view as preachers, counselors, or whatever, for the money, for the fame, for the limelight, for the prestige. It's not about saving souls. It would not be wise to abide on that ownership, for he don't have your best interest at heart. In 1 Peter chapter 4, in verse 11, Peter says this: if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. What is that teaching us? Make sure on your ride on the ship of your life, you abide on the ship with the Spirit, taking spiritual advice from a man who speak where God speak and is silent where the Bible is silent. Your preacher, your minister, your spiritual advisor should give you book, chapter, and the verse for proof that he is speaking as a man of God. Just because someone say they're a man of God, and we see clergy today in the world, and they're from all different backgrounds, and everyone refers to them as a man of God. Well, that can't be true. Not all men are speaking where the Bible speaks. If you're doing what God says, it will be according to the scriptures, and it will be very clear. See, God is not the author of confusion. If someone giving you advice, giving you guidance to save your soul as you ride through life in this ship, your verification is the scripture. And that's the only thing that you should check, do fact checks, if you will. Check behind Brother Brooks. Check behind me. Check and see, am I giving you Bible for what I'm saying? Let's go to verse 12. And because the haven was not commodious to enter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain Phoenice and dare to winter, which is in the haven of Crete, and lie toward the southwest and northwest. This harbor that they was not commodious haven, the harbor, this was ships dock, convenient or suitable for them to stay in for winter, as Paul was suggesting. So look at this. Listen to what's going on in this verse here. The more part, notice that, it says the more part advised to depart. So the majority of the people that Paul spoke to said, no, we ain't going to listen to Paul. Let's go ahead and go anyway. So we can go and get to Phoenice. And we'll winter there. So Paul had already told them, don't do this. Here's the point. According to Jesus, the majority of people will lose their soul. Under Christianity, we are not advised to go along with the majority or the many. The majority of people in this world are going to be lost, according to the Bible. Many people are wrong because they didn't listen to the instructions of the scripture. Jesus said this. If you turn your Bible, Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. And he says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And underline this one, and many there be which go in there. So there's the majority of people. They're like on that ship. Then he says, but it's called straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few, underline that, there be that find it. So Jesus just said, many going to go the wrong way, few going to go the right way. That's why it's important that you stay with a preacher that's giving you what God says. Then Jesus goes on and warned them as to why this is important. He said, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. These are men and women I've described to you earlier. You shall know them by their fruit. The men gather grapes of thorns and figs of thistle. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree brings forth corrupt fruit. A good tree cannot bring evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. That was what I was talking about earlier. About if a man tell you baptism is not essential, and the Bible does, you already know the kind of fruit you're getting. It won't get you. It won't. That tree got to get cut down. You're gonna get cast in the fire. Anywhere you're gonna shipwreck. Then he, verse 21, he makes it real clear. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Now this only applies to Christians, people who believe in Jesus. And there are many that believe in Jesus, but they won't do what he says. But they'll tell you they believe in Jesus. I seen a guy with a t-shirt on yesterday saying, Jesus, I'm addicted to Jesus. But what is he teaching, what Jesus was teaching? And the answer is no, because I saw his pamphlet. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, these are believers. Have we not prophesied in that name, and that name cast out devils, and that name done many wonderful works? In verse 23, here comes Jesus speaking again. Then I will profess unto them, I knew you. Apart from me, you are a worker of iniquity. So he said, many will say to me in that day, Many will go the wrong way. Many will believe they're saved. And many will hear that he will say, I never knew you. You were a worker of iniquity. You that work iniquity. That means you didn't follow the teachings of the scripture. You followed doctrines of men. How do you know that? Matthew 15:8. Jesus says this. Matthew 15:8. Notice what he says. It's important that we know why people are going to be lost. He says, these people draw nigh unto me with their mouth. This the Lord. These are believers. These are people under Christianity. You know, Baptists call themselves Christian. Methodists call themselves Christian. Catholics call themselves Christian. Pentecostals call themselves Christian. Church of Christ call themselves Christian. You go on and on. Hundreds of churches that say they are Christians. But then Jesus then says, this people who call themselves Christians, honoring me with their mouth, calling me their Lord, and their lips, their heart is far from it, meaning their mind, where they're being taught. And he says in verse 9 exactly what the problem is. In vain they do worship me. See? Teaching for the doctrine, the commandments of men, contrary winds, opposite of what Jesus teaches. Is doctrines of men, which cause you to be in worship services, are going to a building to worship under some of these umbrellas of Christianity, under the umbrella of Christianity, some of these I just mentioned. Many people go on to those churches, even in the Church of Christ. You must be careful by what you're taught by your preacher. If you see something going on in your services that are contrary to the teachings of Christ, that's where you draw the line. It doesn't matter if it's Howard Heights, anywhere. If it's contrary to the teaching of Christ, your brother Strauss or teaching something not according to the scripture, that would turn into a vain worship. If I'm not teaching, it would turn into vain worship. So it's not just honoring Jesus with your lips, telling you how much you love Jesus, oh, how I love Jesus. Jesus loves us. All you got to do now is just go home and be good, and be a good person. And you don't have to go to church every Sunday. This stuff people teach in the world. You never hear us teach that. But you'll be saved when you die because you're saved by grace. Well, that's the teachings of most of the modern day Christians, so-called. The majority of people believe in America. As long as you're drinking, you're not drinking, you're not being adultery, you're not doing nothing big in their eyes, fornication, you're not stealing, you know, you're not shacking. Most people believe as long as you're doing good things, you're gonna go to heaven. They even believe now you don't have to marry a woman. A woman can marry a woman, a man can marry a man, and they still get to go to heaven. People believe that you can change your gender. They're doing it now with children. They were born male. They're giving them medication. Say, no, you got the wrong gender, so we're going to help you get the right gender. And they ain't going to put transgenders, men who became women, through medication. And now they're on the track field with the same women who were born women. And that's why it's such a controversy. We live in a world where your doctrines, commandments of men are going to cause many people to be lost. So, main point here to us is this. Don't get caught up with the majority of people, what they believe. That's what Jesus taught, and I've given you the scripture for you to go read for yourself. Other thing about that is don't be impressed with large buildings and lots of people. Such as Joel Osteen. I see a lot of people. Joel is just telling people what they want to hear. Very motivational. Sound real good. But remember, just because it's a big building, a lot of people in it, does not mean he's right. Just don't pick a building to go to because there's a lot of people there. So what should be our effort in the Church of Christ? Our effort is to be among the few and not the majority of the men. At least that I should speak for. Under my leadership, Brother Stroud's leadership, our leadership, and other brothers who support us here at High Life. This is important to us. And every man there should hold me accountable. Every brother there, every sister there should hold me accountable and Brother Stroud, because we are the one teaching you from the Bible. Now, watch how the majority was wrong in this case. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, losing thence, they sailed close by Crete. Remember my sermon titled Contrary Winds, or Unpredictable Winds. They can be soft. So in this case, there was a south wind. You can have a south wind or you can have a north wind. In this case, the south wind was soft, was calm. Here's the application I want to make. Ladies and gentlemen, man, mom, dad, son, daughter, young or old. So to the young man, a young man who's still young, in your teens, just growing up. And you may believe you're young and you're all right now. You got a lot of time to get your life together. Because things are good. You're at home. You know, you're taken care of. You're eating good. Your mom and dad love you and they take care of you. They're giving you a good education. They're providing for you right now. And you should be thankful. Because that's a soft wind. That's soft right there. You're not out on your own. You don't have to pay no bills or nothing. But that day is coming. So to the young men on the call, remember, things may be good now. But there's something coming called life. You have to get out there on your own at some point. To young ladies, right now things may be good. Without God in your life, because you're experiencing good education, you're experiencing south winds and good times, you got your boyfriend and things that seem so good for you right now. You're doing good in school, you're already getting ready to go to college. Things are good. But remember, it's just a south wind blowing soft right now. Right now, to all of us, could be experiencing soft wind or experiencing good times. To our visitors, you could be doing that in the wrong church. You could be doing that and giving God all the credit. You could be saying, you know, God is good. Not just summertime, but all the time. I'm too blessed to be depressed. I know. And you're giving God all the credit, which he deserves. But remember, just because things are good does not mean you are saved. To the members of the church, to all of us in High Life, and those listening from other congregations. You can be at a congregation where the south winds are blowing softly, everything is good. But it's not a congregation that haven't gone through some rough times. So we enjoy the south winds. Because contrary winds are coming. Back to Acts. But verse 14. But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. Look. And listen. just right after the sophomore, there came this thing called a Rockledon. Rockledon. We don't use that word in America. We use more, we're more familiar with hurricanes or typhoons. Anyway, it's a storm. And it's in the Rockledon, just like a hurricane, stirs up the winds and the waters and the waves. If you're in that sea, when the Rockledon is coming, if you're in the sea in a ship where a hurricane is coming, it's gonna throw you around. It's dangerous. So there are storms in life. Tempestuous. What does that mean, Brother Brooks? Very violent. You know, like if you they every time you see a hurricane, they tell the surfers, everybody get out of the way, get back from the sea, because it's wild, it's violent right now. I mean, so those winds are high, the waves are big, and anything in its path is going to clear out. So how do you apply this? Everything going good can be going good, and all of a sudden, you get one phone call. And your life changed. One phone call. And your life can change forever. Me and living a life of calmness and feeling good about everything. Life was going good. And then, boom. You're depressed. You're down. You're no longer happy. You're struggling. You're fighting. But here's an example of that. Good health. You've been doing good. You haven't been fighting health issues. But all of a sudden, life changes. You go to one doctor. Go to a physical. Get one checkup. And all of a sudden, there comes this tempestuous answer. Bad health. Cancer. Diabetes. Heart failure. You didn't see it coming. That's a Rockledon. Could have been living a life where there was no stress. You really was pretty good. Things were going real good. You weren't stressing. But then one day, something or somebody or some event changes you from being calm to stressed. Taking medication, leading to drinking, alcohol, all kind of things, depression. And you're stressed. That's one of those huge waves that I'm talking about, that strong wind of stressful life situations. You could be someone who had a very healthy husband, and then also he turns sick. And now you're the caretaker. You have to do everything yourself. You're by his side. You're by her side. You have to take care of him. But you said, better or worse, in sickness and in health, you said that. But when it comes, it's a miracle done to you. You got to sit there and slowly watch your loved one die who's on hospice. So you pre-grieve before he died. You had to go through all of that. Perhaps you lost a spouse. And when you lost that spouse, you didn't know what you had until it was gone. And then you start experiencing what's called a secondary loss. What's she rockly done? What's she done or he done for you? For the men, it's with that wife cooking. He went away with her that day. Washing your clothes, that went away with her that day. Housekeeping went away with her. The cook went away from her. Her voice went away. Your bed partner went away. Your children's mother went away. That's what you're rocking on. To a woman who loses her husband. Her protector left her. Her provider left her. The one who cut the yard left her. The one who made pay the bill left her. To a child who loses her mother. That went away when you lost your mama. That was your rock though. Because things were good when she was there. She was there to love you. I call my mama with the bosom. She's there for you to lay your head on her bosom. Because mother's got something daddy couldn't give you. That's why I call my mama. My mama was my bosom. No matter how old I got, I was still her baby. If you're on the call this morning, you done lost your mom. You lost your bosom. The one who delivered you. The one who carried you in her womb. And she's not here no more. To give you your advice. To be there for you. To comfort you. You're going through the rock today. You're going through the storm. Or if you lost your dad, I call my dad the chief. Yeah, my leader. My children call me for advice, for leadership in life. When you lose your daddy, maybe somebody lost the father, you lost that leadership. And you're going through it now. That's through the rock. Contrary winds, you all, are coming. Many people today, because of the pandemic, families battling who should get the vaccine, who shouldn't, arguments going back and forth. Some say the COVID is a hoax. Some are doing it. Remember, God released the pandemic. No one could do this. God, it didn't have to happen. God is in control. But it is a storm to this world. That's why I call it a pandemic. It's worldwide. People are dying day in and day out. Not one time in my lifetime have I seen and witnessed the numbers of death being posted. Now, people were dying before this, you know that, right? But it's in our face now. How many times we get on the call every week now? Somebody in our family knows someone with this disease. We know someone who has died. These phone calls are coming. Children getting murdered. That's a storm. For a mother to lose her child, it don't seem right for a mother to bury her own child. That's a storm. And it's happening all around us. Families are facing your family portrait and seeing faces diminish one after another. And at some point, your life is soft and you don't know what's coming, but at some point, it's going to be you. It's going to be me. Spiritually speaking, the rock dove is coming to us on judgment. See, right now, you thank God for your grace and mercy. And that's true. Thank God things as well as they are. True. We should thank God for all that. But right now, there is no judgment being there. What the judgment was judging us is the scripture. Jesus said, he that rejected me received not my word, and one that judged him. The words that I have spoken, the same with judging last day, John 12:48. So the scripture is doing the judgment. But there's going to be a day when every knee will bow, and every mouth will confess to God. And we all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. That day, if you are among that many people I'm talking about, if you have not obeyed the truth, or you just left the true church, or you're not living according to the scripture, you will face an everlasting rock. It will be called the wrath of God. So, question. Is there someone on the call this morning living in soft winds? And now your head is in a different place. The young people got you tripping. How am I going to deal with this? What am I going to do without mama? What am I going to do without my wife? What am I going to do with my sister on COVID, got COVID? What am I going to do about my love when I can't go see an hospital or nursing home? What am I going to do? Your head is spinning. You lost the one you love. Your head is spinning. You look at life and you want to go back. I want to do something. Change it. Contrary winds. You can go backwards. Ship's going to go backwards. It's still headed toward the destination. It's battling. You got to battle forward. You got to press toward a mark. You see, runners, they lean to cross the finish line. They lean into the wind, sort of go over their heads so they can get faster to them. You got to lean into this. Whatever is coming, whatever you're dealing with, you got to lean into it with awareness that you are facing the reality of life and that storms of life will blow. And you've got to be ready to lean into the wind. But don't lean with thy God. Why? You will shipwreck. So the question is, what are you going to do with your life without God on your side? Well, it's contrary. Opposite. Different. The storm is coming. It's just a matter of when. But you have choice. Those people on that ship had a choice. Because Paul stood up and spoke. He stood up and told them, don't do this. You know, everybody on the call today, me and you, I keep putting myself in there. Boy, I know what this is about. I mean, some of the things I just talked about are experiences I've had at home, but each of you got your own life experiences that you can talk about, that you can think about, and that you can take this and apply it to your life. And you can see where you are now, and you know what's going on with your life. Let's go back to verse 15. Try to close it up. Now, and when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. Now, what do you say? They have no control. The ship was in control, not the people on the ship. Now, here's how I'm going to make an application here. Sometimes in our lives can be so out of control, caught up in these contrary winds, misjudgment, not thinking it through, acting out of anger, doing things that's going to promote destruction, depression, stress, ordeals. Sometimes your life can get so out of control that you don't know which direction you're going. Now you go to the doctor. Now you're on medications. Now you're on antidepressant pills. Now you're on sleep pills. Now you're trying to figure out how to just get through the night. And sadly, some can't handle this. They can't handle life as it is. Just recently, I had a friend of mine, West Texas, and came home, and his grandson, his son, set his food out, but his son didn't eat it. So his son had another place in the back of his home that he would go and chill out at, watch TV and things of that nature. He was kind of lonely, down on himself, and very depressed. But he walked in and called his name, and he didn't answer. He walked in the door, and he saw him hanging there. A young man had took his life. Now, that father had to live with that problem. So if you're on the call, you're contemplating suicide. Remember, you're not only killing yourself, but everybody who loves you will have to live with your decision. And that's not the answer to life. The answer to life is not to take your life. The answer to life is to give your life to God. That's the answer. But sometimes life gets so out of control that you start thinking that way. Are you so down that you feel like you're in a dark room, feeling your way around trying to get out of that room because it's so hard to see? But outside of every dark room is light. And the light, God is light. God don't want us to stay in the dark room. He wants us to get out of that room. And sometimes it's just as simple as opening the door, raising the shade, and there comes light. Give God a chance. So there's someone this morning. Your life is out of control because of your negligence to listen to God. You haven't been listening to God. Maybe your marriage is about to fall apart, ready to go through divorce court. You look back and say, man, I should have done that. You're begging for forgiveness. Maybe there's somebody on the call who think you're making the right decision about something, and it turned out it wasn't the right decision, and you've suffered the consequences of whatever you've done. Now you're saying, if I only had listened, if I only thought before I acted, if I only had stayed faithful, if I only had got baptized, if I only got the vaccination, you know, somebody said, well, you're promoting vaccination. Well, everybody going to make that, just like in Christianity, you're going to make your own. See, I got it. I got the vaccination, but I'm still saying decisions we make, we have to make with good judgment. And if you stand with God, you make good judgment decisions. You're making the best decision you have. Remember, God gave us the lawyers. He gave us doctors. He gave us police officers. All those are for our protection with Christians. Luke was a doctor. Now, when it comes to my blood pressure medicine, I don't know what's in it, but my doctor says take it, so I do. I don't know what's in that stuff. I don't even know what's in Tylenol. But I tell you, when I get a headache. So my judgment is based on what I believe God gives us good common sense. But you know, life can spin out of control. I'd hate to be a mom or dad and a child die because they made a decision of such that wasn't wise. I'd hate to be a husband who loses a wife because of that. And that's happening. So, you know, it's not me. I'm just saying, here's my personal position on that. And it's not something I'm willing to debate with anybody, so you don't have to call me and try to debate. I'm just saying that's how I stand. If the weather forecast tell me not to drive on the road because there's some black ice out there somewhere, I'm not going to take a chance to drive on the road. I'm going to stay at home until it's safe. Because I'm going to follow the advice that's given to me. Now, life has been out of control by a lot of things, you know, like just terrible decision-making choices in life. Just maybe the storms, the winds, the waves of life would not be so difficult on you right now if you've chosen to listen to the man of God. In the case with Paul, that's what I'm speaking of, not in the case with me. I'm giving you from the scripture. Paul was giving directly from God. So maybe the storms, the winds of life that you're going through right now would not be so difficult if you would listen to what God says in the Bible. So the question becomes, at what point in your life do you make the decision to get your life under control with God? At what point in your life do you notice your condition is deteriorating and you've got to do something about it? At what point in your life do you start taking action to change a course that's directed by God? On every ship, there's a navigator, and they have to follow the navigation, and they give them a route around the storm. Your navigation, even in airplanes they do, they can go above the cloud, around the cloud, and go around the storm. Our navigator is the Bible. So it's real simple what I'm teaching. I'm trying to teach it where the least educated person on the call can understand. Is it like that life going to send you some contrary winds and you best follow the Bible? Because the end of life is death. Let's go back to Acts in verse 16. And running on a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat. They had to make a decision to start doing some work. They had to do something about what was getting ready to happen. But he said, we had much work. So you got to understand, we're trying to get to heaven. We work together. I'm on the same team you are. We're trying to get to heaven. No one can do it for you. But you got to do your part. Which when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship, fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand, struck sail, and so were driven. You have to work to secure your life from quicksands. Can you see that you're sinking? If you can see you're sinking, you're going down. Or taking action to avoid falling from the church, to avoid going back to the world, to avoid losing your soul. So many falling by the wayside. That's the song we sing. Lord, help me to stand. Verse 18. If we were being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day, we cast out with our own hands, the tackling of the ship. So Lucas said, we start throwing stuff overboard. We start getting rid of everything that was hindering us from making it safely. How's the application? Well, you know it. When it gets tough, you got to let go of some things. Things that are hindering you from succeeding as a Christian. You have to lighten the ship. Maybe you have to let go of a second job if it's hindering you from studying or serving God. Maybe you have to let go of a friend if they're hindering you from saving your soul or serving God. Maybe you need to let go of your pride. And maybe you should be able to admit you messed up, made a mistake, and the person you love and care about can receive your request for forgiveness or because you had to let go of your pride. You know, I messed up. I made a mistake. Or you can let go of your pride. Maybe you just got to be more compassionate and caring and administer care love to the people that you're trying to save. Verse 20. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Oh, boy, all hope is gone. Somebody on the call this morning, you may have been struggling so long in your situation, your days, your dialysis, you can't do nothing no more. You're sick. You're in the point where you just go from the bedroom to the rocking chair. That's young or old, so dark and dreary life, you've lost all hope. As the verge of giving up. You say, Brother Brooks, I've tried, but nothing seems to help to lift my burden. Well, I say don't give up. That's not the answer. You got to give God a chance. Don't give up. You got to give God a chance. But Jesus stands calling, come to me, all you labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. In closing, listen to what Paul, the man of God, said to him. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sir, you should have hearkened unto me. Paul said, yeah, you should have listened to me. And not loose from Crete. We should never left Crete. So he's telling them what they meant wrong. Now we've gained this horn and lost. I told y'all it was going to happen. And now I'm going to encourage you. I exhort you to be of good cheer. Paul said, well, that's okay. You didn't listen, but it's okay. For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you but the ship. He said, huh? You're not going to die, Paul said. You're not going to die. For there stood by me this night an angel of God, whose I am, and whom I serve. So Paul said, here's why I'm telling you, because God has spoke to me, which we know happened. Now, that's not going to happen, Brother Brooks. God's not going to come say, okay, go tell Hallelujah, everything's going to be okay. Ain't nobody there going to die from COVID. For as I know, there are about members that died from COVID. God didn't come tell me what actions to take when COVID came. We did it based on common sense and judgment. So far, we have lost members, which I'm thankful for. If we have, somebody can tell me who it was, but I don't know. One member of Hallelujah. What are you saying, Rupert? When we see things are coming, the Word of God gives us instructions. Paul gave them instructions. We have to follow those instructions using wisdom. He said, this came from the God who I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, for thou must be brought before Caesar. Lo, God had given thee all them that sail with thee. You know, hanging around a good man is good for you as well. Get a good company of people. You know, people that were around Paul that day were blessed because they were around Paul. Are you one of those Christians that people can be around and they can receive blessing because of you? Just like in a household where the household is in uproar, but the mama is very spiritual. That house is being sanctified. Blessed because of the one Christian in the house. Her prayers are being heard. Are you that person in your home? Are you that husband in your home? Are you that father in your home? Are you that mother in your home? Are you that wife in your home? And your home is sanctified because you are inside the house. Are you that child in the home that's very spiritual? And because of you, God is blessing the whole house. It could be you. Because God is standing with you. Paul says in the last verse, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. For I believe in God. And that it shall be even as it was told. And when you believe God, you believe what God's word is saying. So is there somebody who needs to cheer up? Because you've been dealing with the contrary winds of life. Jesus was on a ship one time in Matthew chapter 4. And it got bad. He was on the ship. They asked him, you don't know? And he did. He was there. But they needed to go through the rough ship. But then he stood up and said, peace be still. See, when you allow God to come in your life, he can speak. And peace will be still. I believe, like Paul, the God whom I serve, the God who I belong to, and the God who I preach about, and the word of God coming from what we call the Bible, is God talking to all of us. And if you believe, then you'll just do what the Bible says. So here's what you must do to be saved. If you're on the call this morning, you're among that majority of people who believe you don't have to do everything the Bible says. Remember I told you about the many. Well, here's what you need to be saved. You got to believe, number one, that God loved you, John 3:16. You got to believe that God so loved you that he gave his only child. You got to believe his only son was Jesus. You got to believe that that child that came from Virgin Mary grew up to be 33 years old, everybody, and was murdered, brutally beaten, executed, spit on. You got to believe all that. Why you say you got to believe, remember? That's what's in the Bible. They whipped him. He suffered. You got to believe that. Because if you believe he suffered to save you, you'll love him more. And when you believe that, make your decision to change courses of life by repenting. Or you're going to perish. You're going to shipwreck. Luke 13:3. What do you mean? Change course. Start obeying God. If you want to call you not a member of the Church of Christ, the first thing you need to do is say, man, I got to go to a church where they teach the Bible and the truth. They stick into Scripture. If you're at a congregation that's leaving the church, I encourage members of the Church of Christ to leave that congregation if they're not teaching the truth. Repent means I'm ready to stop living the life I'm living and live the life that God wants me to live. Number four, you got to believe enough in God to please him. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17, Hebrews 11:6. You got to believe. So if you believe, you hear it. Number two, believe it. Three, confess Jesus to be the Son of God. Repent of your sin. Four, if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, it's commanded that you confess before me in Matthew 10:32. You're going to say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and not be ashamed and believe it 100%. As we see the unity in Acts 8:37. He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, after that, you got to be baptized for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38. Keeping the command of Jesus, Mark 16:15-16. You'll be washed in the blood of Jesus. All your sins will be washed away. Revelation 1:5, Acts 22:16. And then the Lord will add you to the one church. Which one is it, Brother Brooks? The Church of Christ. Romans 16:16 says, salute one another, the Holy Kiss, the Church of Christ. Salute you. It's the only church I'll tell you about, because that's the only one God spoke about. That's in the Bible. And that's what this comes down to. Contrary winds of life. Contrary winds. Different from the teachings of Christ will cause you to shipwreck and lose your soul. If you're on the call today, you're not a member of the Church of Christ, you can hit 5-star on your phone. And you can tell us you want to change course of life and you want to be baptized. We'll make the arrangements wherever you are. And I'll listen to all of you. If you're on the call today and you're a member of the church, maybe perhaps some kind of way. I came into your home, came into your life, came into your relationship, came into your dark room, and I stood there and I talked to you. But the words you were hearing came from the word of God. If you were listening, you need to repent, hit 5-star. If it was you and you need prayer, hit 5-star. Because Jesus is outside of that room waiting for you to open the door. He said, I stand at your door now. If you were open, you got to make a decision. Repent, confess, be baptized. Ask for prayer if you need it. So at this time, I turn it back over to the song leader.